We would like to say the scripture that we stand on is one the Lord gave us a number of years ago, that our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us an able minister of the New Testament. I would like to thank the Lord for this wonderful meeting. I've needed this meeting. I appreciate all of the messages. I am so thankful that Joseph, in the Psalms in many places, said things such as this: renew me, revive me, revisit me. Those were some of the words I'd been praying for myself. And I feel that the meeting has done that. Thank the Lord for the timing of the meeting.
Amen.
We've had a little scripture on our heart that's inspired us with different things there in the home congregation. It's found in Acts 5 and 20. Just a little portion of that verse says this: go, stand, and speak to the people all the words of this life. That little verse can be an introduction to a number of different messages from the Lord. And that's what He wants us to do today, is to speak words of this life to you and me that are represented in this little congregation today. The next scripture that has been on my heart is found in Ecclesiastes 12 and 11. And those of you that know, especially from our congregation, I do use a lot of scripture. The Word of God is far more important than what few words that I might insert here. So expect some scriptures today. Ecclesiastes 12 and 11. It says this: the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. I have to admit to you that I did not understand this word goad. I really thought it was something else entirely until the Lord inspired this scripture to me and I looked it up. You know what that word means? It's a stick to urge on cattle. And other words that were brought out as synonyms were compelling motive, urge on, stimulate. I liked that. You know, that's what we're doing here today.
Amen.
The Lord has His little goad, His little stick, and He's urging us on. And what we're doing here today, we don't want to lose. We want this to be passed on to the next generation and the next, and whatever generation does come, just as it has been passed to us from those generations before us. That's what we want. We desire to be stimulated by the Word and by the words of life. So we want to be urged on. But a goad was not the only thing. There were nails. And I'm a little familiar with nails, more so now than some time ago. We built a house. And I remember when I was a little girl and my parents built a house, and it was just a small house. But I still remember the man's name, whose name was Mr. Teeter. And he built that house by hand, nailing it with a hammer and nails. And that's the way it was done. That house is still standing today, and I am 67. So he did a good job. He put it together and it held. Well, as we built our house, they want to go much faster. And they use power guns. And those guns go real fast. And they just hold those up there and they shoot those nails in there. But I noticed something as looking and around. Sometimes they would shoot many times in one place. It would just be full of those nails. You know, I believe the Lord wants us to do that. We want this thing so solid, so structured, so held in place that nothing is going to tear it down. That it will stand the test of time. So, this scripture has a little introduction to us today. That there is, the Lord wants to spur us on. But he also wants it to be very structured and held in place. Thank the Lord. Our next thought was concerning preaching the word. You'll turn with me to Romans 10. You will understand then why the Lord, uses the foolishness of preaching. We want to look at verses 14 through 15 and 17 and 18. And this is what it says. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? What a question. Have you not heard the preached word? I say you have. I say many people in the whole world has heard more than they may wish to acknowledge. Have they not heard? And the answer is yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. I think about the scripture that is also not only in the Old Testament, but the New. And it says that we didn't have to send across the ocean. We didn't have to go up into the heavens to get the word. It's right there. Right there.
Right there.
In thy heart and in thy mouth. So the word that we're presenting to you this morning by the help of the Lord is not new. You're familiar with it. You have heard it. And I'm glad that I heard it. I'm glad that someone spoke it in my ears. Thank the Lord. Someone said, well, I want to have the convictions, but not because my parents taught me. I want the Lord to show it to me. And that's good. I don't condemn that. But the thought and the understanding has to be spoken to you at some time. It has to be introduced. You and I hear it, and then it's what we do with it. We either apply it or we turn it away. But we have heard it. And this is the plan that God has, is for you and me to hear the word. So I pray that the Lord will bless the words of life this morning. Another scripture says that these things were written so they would believe. I am so thankful for the word of God. For every account that we, the ministers, the testimonies of the accounts of the Bible, and we hear them over and over, it's an old story but ever new. Amen. And how glad I am for those that were so faithful, such as we heard of Joseph this morning. Isn't that wonderful? And that I can use those things in my life, apply the principles that are given there. And so I hear the word, and it's written so I might believe. Jesus also said that you and I would live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Did you realize that we're going to live by His words? Thank the Lord for Jesus' words. So this morning I would like to direct our attention to the Church of God. And I will try to be as concise as I can. Brother Michael Williamson got up here one afternoon service and he said, "I am so full." And so this morning I would like to be able to be concise. I would like for you to pray that the Lord will help me to say the right words for this life. The Church of God. It is in the scripture, it's identified as the body of Christ. It is identified as the bride of Christ, Christ being the bridegroom. It's likened to a building. The scripture says it is fitly framed together. It is called the Holy Temple. It is a habitation of God. That's just a few. The Church of God is a very important bride to Christ. Scriptures teach us that Christ is the head of this body. I love the scripture that tells me that the government is on His shoulder. I appreciate having that understanding of the workings of the Holy Spirit in our services. That's part of the government. To witness it, to experience it down through our life. We are a blessed people. We hear of other places that we might refer to as man rule, where they may order the services and have them printed up here. And you would not have the liberty to be led of the Spirit to call a song. Have you ever thought of our song services? What a blessing it is. And how the Spirit of the Lord causes those songs to just fit together, oftentimes following each other with messages that speak to our hearts. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the government that is on His shoulder. This is in the church of God.
Praise
Thank the Lord. I'll quickly move on to the members. Church of God is made up of all the redeemed of the earth. Scripture tells us that this seal is His, that He knows every one that belongeth to Him. I don't have to know that. What I need to know is that I am one of His. Thank the Lord. And when I am one of His, as a member of His body, as part of His bride, I will have that union with those that also have that spirit in them. Amen. This is the church of God. It's made up of those who have repented and forsaken their sins. Yes. Thank the Lord. Members of the church of God are new creatures in Christ. These members walk in the light. I want to encourage us this morning. Let us walk in the light while we have the light, lest darkness come upon us. And the scripture says, great is that darkness. You and I are in a dark world, but we can walk in the light. Thank the Lord. There is a light still in this world. It is in God's people, and it is in the church of God. Thank the Lord. Exodus 19. I want to look at part of 5 and 6. These are identifying factors of the church of God and His people. If ye will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then shall ye be what? A peculiar treasure above all people, and ye shall be a holy nation. Those are parts of 5 and 6. The calling for God's people is to be saints. There are theories and thoughts in the world that you can't be a saint until you die. God's calling with a high calling for you and me to be on a high way that is above this world. Thank the Lord. We're still speaking about the church of God. One of the distinguished identifying marks of a saint is one that is separated from the world. It is one who's being governed by the precepts and commandments and laws of a holy God. That's a saint. So when you and I are being governed by a holy God, amen, we will be holy.
Yes.
Over in the New Testament, we're going to be looking at Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and also 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. We're going to use both of those. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, looking at verses 4 through 6, it says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Do we believe it?
Yes, amen.
There is one church.
Yes, amen.
Do we say this is it right here and no more?
No.
Praise God, He knows everyone that are His.
Yes, that's right. Thank the Lord.
But there is still only one Spirit and one faith. I would like to speak to you a little bit about the functions of the Church of God. So if you can keep your finger on the fourth chapter of Ephesians and turn with me over to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, we may be flipping back and forth. I love the Church of God. I would like to say with my mouth, and I'm hoping that my life proves it, I really believe in what we're doing this morning. I really believe in the Church of God. I really believe that she is the bride of Christ. I really believe what he has laid down here as the functions of the Church of God. In the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I'm going to be looking at verses 12 and 14. 21 and 24. I'm trying to condense this a little bit. Verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. That's plain, isn't it? Verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Is there anyone we don't need this morning? Considering your own body, is there any part of your body you would be willing to give up? Are you willing to give up even a finger? Did you know God so designed our body to be so right for the functions of our life? What if you didn't have your thumb? You only had the four fingers. Do you know you would be handicapped? Very hard to pick up a coin or anything with four fingers. Much easier with a thumb. It's so right. I am so thankful for my eyes, aren't you? Aren't you glad that you can hear this morning? Would you like to give that up? How about your nose? How important is your smelling? It affects your taste. I don't even want to give up a toe. It gives balance when I walk. God created this body, this human body, so perfectly, so right. I'm glad he did. But he wants you and me to think now of the Church of God in relationship to all of these members of my physical body. And we have all agreed we're not willing to give up any part of it that it would handicap us. In the Church of God, it is the same way. I need every part of the body. You need every part of the body of Christ. It speaks about some of these parts being less honorable. You know, we're all not alike. This afternoon, we're going to be having the ordinance service. And when the minister takes the unleavened bread, and he begins to open up to your mind and mine about what's in that bread, how that bread came to be, the many grains of wheat, they might say, being crushed, bruised, blended together, made into one loaf. I need my brethren. And whether you know it or not, you need me. Verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. Don't you know that God is tempering the body of Christ even at this time? Through meetings such as this, as we heard testimonies this morning speaking of maybe a lack in their spiritual growth and were weak in certain areas. Anybody else been weak here? If we had a show of hands, we would all have to raise our hand. I was weak. I was afraid. I had doubts. But he's bringing us to a place of perfection and growth. Has anyone been able to look back this morning and say, I'm not where I once was? He has brought me to another place, to a higher place. He's brought me out into a wealthy place. I'm not the person I once was. I spoke of looking in an album of who I once was. All I have to do is look at my wedding pictures. And I almost want to say, who is that person? Can I tell you a little bit about our wedding? We sang one of our wedding songs here this morning. The Virtue of Faith. Oh, does that mean I was real spiritual? Far from it. I wanted to live for the Lord. But I chose that song, and I believe with all my heart it was the Holy Ghost choosing the song. It's not a wedding song. I remember my sister, who wasn't saved, when she heard the song, she said, why did you choose a funeral song? That song is very special to me. I didn't know what was going to be in our life. I didn't know what was going to take place in our marriage. Brother Leslie married us, my husband's brother. Brother Leslie hadn't been preaching very long. Our brother Leslie preached to the lost at our funeral. I mean, our wedding. You know what? You know what? He said that at another wedding. He said, we're gathered here for this funeral. And he meant wedding. And then he used it and he said, well, it is a funeral. You're dying to everybody else. So... Brother Leslie talked about being in double marriage at our wedding. So, you see, our wedding was not a conventional wedding. But the virtue of faith became our song. We need to keep the faith. And it was many years before my husband was saved. And I was up and down too. But it came to the place. It took the loss of a daughter. And it changed our lives. The song that was sung this morning is so true. You have to pass through the fire and it takes time. I'm not the person I once was. So, God has a way of working with each one of us to bring us along, to mature our walk with Him, to allow us to have spiritual growth and greater insight and growth in faith and growth in grace and all of those things. So our testimonies are proper to even recall the pit where I have come from, or even the place of weakness. So I want to say this morning, I appreciate the openness of those kind of testimonies, because you and I can be an open book to one another. Ephesians, the 4th chapter now. Again, keep your hand on 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to look at verses 11 through 16. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. We're talking about the function of the body now. And some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, grow up in Him in all things. That's what we're doing here this morning. We're speaking the truth in love, which is the head, even Christ, and from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, the last part says, maketh increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. The Lord wants to use the members right here to edify itself, the church of God. Those words stood out to me this morning. He wants us to edify one another. He wants us to edify the body of Christ, the church of God. And it is by the fact that He has placed members in the body as it pleaseth Him. Turn with me now back to 1 Corinthians 12. We're not going to reread that scripture in here. The scriptures confirm it in both places. The members of the body, how He sets them in the members. But I want to specifically look at verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? If my body consisted only of my head and nothing else, what good would it be? I would have no life. I want to tell you this morning, the balance of the scriptures and of the function of the body of Christ and the church of God is that He has operations, but by the same Spirit. It's all by the same Spirit. If everyone here this morning was a missionary, and there were no pastors, there were no teachers, you were just a missionary, and we all had to be in a foreign country somewhere, would that be a complete body? God has a perfect plan for His body, for His church. He has pastors and teachers and evangelists. It all works together. He has the missionaries. But we all cannot fill the very same place. The scripture tells us this in these two passages. God wants to put you in the body as it pleaseth Him. He has a job for you. He has a job for me. And when you're filling your place and I'm filling my place, this body is fitly joined together. And it's a beautiful picture and it works. That's why out there, they're fearful of allowing the Holy Spirit to work in their services. They would be afraid for the liberty to be given that you could call a song and you could call a song and it might not work together and maybe you'd sing too long. Do we have any what we call out of order services in the eyes of man? But in the eyes of God, He's pouring it out. Sometimes we have services where it's all testimonies. And they're so rich. And our souls are fed. And it all is anointed. Thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit this morning. Thank the Lord for the government that's on His shoulder. Thank the Lord for the church of God that has this liberty and this freedom. Thank the Lord. I'm glad we're not all the same. Now I'd like to change just a little bit. I want you to look at the first verse of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. It says, concerning spiritual gifts. Now concerning spiritual gifts. He says, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. We're not going to read all of those scriptures for the sake of time, but it's right there for you to read. Over in Ephesians again, he says, He gives gifts unto men. And that's what we want to speak to you this morning. Concerning the gifts of the body. If you read there in that chapter of the 12th chapter, you'll find there are gifts of wisdom and understanding. Important gifts. There is a gift of faith, a gift of healing. And as you read there, you'll see they're all by the same Spirit. Gift of miracles. Gift of prophecy. Gift of discernment. Do we need discernment in the body of Christ? Absolutely. Gift of helps. Gift of governments. Those of you, brethren, that are serving as trustees, I want to commend you. I want to thank you for your labor of service to the Church of God. It's a thankless job many times. It's a job that is done behind the scenes. It takes many hours and much energy and strength. And those that serve on the trustees for Monarch, it's a tiring job, and yet without their work, you and I would not enjoy the benefits of that camp meeting. And I want to say this morning, you're not enjoying this without the labor of much work. So there's a gift of governments. And I count the trustees as being under that category. I know that covers other things, but I specifically want to acknowledge those that work behind the scenes and give of their energies and their time. And it's a blessing to the body. The scripture also says there are gifts of tongues or languages. I want to tell you something. I can't learn a foreign language. I have tried. There's something wrong with my tongue. It doesn't form the sounds or the syllables or something. I cannot speak Spanish. God gives gifts to certain individuals that can speak multiple languages. But he also has a very, very special gift that should we be in a setting where there's many languages and we're not able to understand the speaker, that he has a gift of tongues. As it was presented on the day of Pentecost, that they all heard it in their own language. You and I need not to be confused about the gift of tongues. Oftentimes, the devil wants you and me to draw back just a little bit. I'm afraid to even answer those questions. Don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit knows how to give this gift. But I still maintain that there are those that God gives special abilities to be able to learn other languages and to go to the foreign lands. I remember when Sister Opal Kelly, she was in our congregation, and the Lord called her to Mexico. She was up in years. She was an older lady when she went. I think she said that she had maybe had some Spanish when she was a child, but never used it. God gave her a gift. She was able to speak and preach, and it was as though it was her native tongue. That's a gift. Let us not be afraid to talk about the gift of tongues. It has a place in the body of Christ. It has a functional place. And we believe in it. Thank the Lord. I would like to add one that is not necessarily listed there, but I believe it's confirmed by the scripture, is I believe there is a gift of the prayer of faith. I believe God uses certain individuals to be able to pray the prayer of faith, and it's a gift from God. And I thank the Lord for that. I'd like for you to look with me now to the very last verse of chapter 12. Because I want to talk to you a little bit about these gifts and their operation in the body. This scripture says, covet earnestly the best gifts. What does this word covet mean? If we hear a word covet, we think of something that's bad. Because he said, we are not to covet. But this means to desire eagerly. Listen to the other definition. I liked this one the best. Long for something belonging to another. Who owns these gifts? Christ belongs. They belong to him. There is no other place that I can recall or know of in the scripture where it says for me to covet anything. But I believe the message to the church of God this morning is that you should leave here and begin to covet a gift that will be a blessing to the church of God. I'm going to testify a little bit now. This must have happened maybe 2 years ago. We were at our daughter's house in Alabama, and our room is down in the basement, and I was down praying there one morning, and the Lord put some words in my mouth. The words were this: Lord, give me the gift of healing. And I was shocked at myself. I didn't think I could ask for that. I just sort of sat back. And the Lord began to open up these thoughts to me about the body and how we need these gifts operating in the church of God. And we might say, well, I'm not qualified. You can get qualified. That's a whole nother message. And the Lord began to inspire me to pray and ask for some gifts to be in me, that the church of God would be a blessed people, that these gifts, they're ordained for the function and operation of the church of God. I began to pray, Lord, give me the gift of faith. Give me the gift of healing. Give me the gift of miracles. If you can trust me with it. Then I began to say, Lord, help me to be hid among the stuff. What does that mean? It comes from the account with Saul, King Saul, when he was ordained to be the king. He felt himself unworthy. When it came time to ordain him, he was hid, and they found him among the stuff. If you and I will be hid in Christ and seek those things and covet those things, these gifts, that they can be a blessing to the church of God, and not take any glory to ourselves. He says, I will not share my glory with any man. As I prayed this way, I said, Lord, I will not touch your glory. I will not share in your glory. This is the secret to a successful operation of the gifts in the church of God, that we not make a name for ourselves, that we not have a reputation, that God be glorified, such as Brother Marty preached yesterday morning. Amen. To God be the glory. Covet earnestly the best gifts for His glory. Amen. I hid this. I didn't tell anyone. And then last Monarch, I was visiting with Brother Larry. And I tried in a little roundabout way to find out, am I doing all right if I hide something that it's really for the church of God? And he sort of reproved me a little bit. And so then one Wednesday night, I had no intentions of telling the congregation there at all that I was praying for these gifts in the body. And it just blurted out. And the Lord spoke to me and He says, I want the church to hear it. I want the church to seek for it. I want the church to have operating in the body gifts of healing, gifts of faith, gifts of miracles. I want all of these gifts working in the body. And now we're here this morning. And isn't this a time that we need faith? Covet earnestly the best gifts, that the church of God can be blessed, that it can be operating. I want to go a little farther past this last verse, because he says, I want to show you a better way. I want to show you something else now. And he immediately goes into the 13th chapter and he talks about love. Talks about charity. And he says, none of those gifts are worth anything if you don't have the love of God supremely in your life. that you're willing to deny yourself any recognition at all. You know what I think? I believe the Church of God has these functioning in the body. I believe that when you and I, there's a call for prayer for whoever, Brother Curtis Williams, I specifically felt this way. When Brother Curtis, we can all have the inspiration of faith. We can all pray the prayer of faith. It doesn't have to be one person. It's the mingling of our voices together, and they're coming up before the throne of God, and they're touching His heart, and He's sending the work. And nobody has a name in it. Nobody can claim anything in it. And that's what the Lord wants. That's being hid among the stuff. I'm not presenting myself as anything because I am nothing.
Amen.
It pays us to believe we are nothing.
Yes, it
pays.
Yes.
So we must have the love of God in order for these gifts to be operating in the Church of God. We need to always remember that the gifts are for the perfecting of the body and for the edifying of the church. That alone. And to the glory of God. Well, today is healing day. This is a special day set aside. It makes me think of when it would be troubled and all of the sick people around and only one got the healing. That's almost sad, isn't it? But the first one that was able to get in that water when it was troubled received the benefit. But it doesn't have to be that way today. It's not limited to just one. Now, the first one up here, or the first one we pray for, that's the end. No. Jesus said to many people that came to Him for healing, even though they only touched the hem of His garment, and He would say, "Great is thy faith," or "Thy faith has made thee whole." Covet earnestly the best gift for yourself. Covet the gift of faith for yourself. I believe God wants us to not only have faith for others. I talked to one lady, one sister, that is weak in the faith. And here's what she said. She said, "I can have faith for others. I can't have faith for myself." That doesn't balance out. You can't have faith for others until you do have faith for yourself. Another person who lost their companion early in life, little children, made the statement, "For the rest of their life, and they lived to be old, I buried my faith with my husband." You can't bury your faith and have faith. Nothing that comes to you and me in our life should cause us to turn loose of our faith. Faith is important. In every area of our life, you have to have faith to be saved, but you have to have faith to be healed. This morning, I want you to know that I am very interested in success of the Church of God. I am very interested in your personal success. For your salvation. I am interested in the success of your faith. And I am interested in the success of the Church of God. I'm interested. So I want to close with the scripture in James. Leaving some instructions for those that are going to be applying for healing today. There's instructions, many more than what I'm going to be leaving here. It's a whole nother message. I'm going to read 13 through 16 of the fifth chapter. And it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." There is a place for you to pray for yourself in your closet. This word afflicted is not necessarily sickness. It can be trials and heartache and sorrow and grief. This one that I told you about that buried their faith, that's what they needed to do. They needed to recognize, I need to pray for myself. Okay. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms or songs. May I say something here? Songs are so vital. And I believe the devil knows that. And I believe that the devil is trying to take our song. I believe that the enemy is trying to get us so engrossed in our cares of life, and our mind is so consumed about what I need to do. But we need a song in the midst of our cares of life. And we need to ask for it. We need to seek the Lord and say, Lord, give me a song. What is the saying that Brother Williams? Do you know there's a generation here that didn't hear that? But we've heard it. He would lead the singing. A dear brother from the time I was a little girl, it seemed like. And especially at Monarch. And he would say, there is a message in every song. And those of us that heard that left an impact on us, and we began to look for the messages in the songs. When we sing our songs, you know, I find myself singing by memory a lot. And I have even wanted the congregation to do it, where only the song leader had the book. But as I look at those words, that's what I'm thinking. What is the message he wants me to get out of this song? There's messages there that will feed you. And then it says, is any sick among you? Let him call. Did you know you have a responsibility to call when you're sick? We've heard so much during this meeting about people being offended if nobody called them. Nobody shook their hand. Or, the devil is cruel. To make us feel less or left out or unloved because nobody has called. The command here is you call. And we could carry that over into a lot of things. But if you're sick, it says for you to call the elders of the church. And then this was their responsibility. They are to come, if possible. And it says, and then they let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I believe in anointing with oil. I really believe in it. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, This is all in here together. Somebody was speaking about that, being all together, our salvation and our healing. It is. But if you come and the Spirit of the Lord brings conviction that maybe there's something you need to correct in your life, you don't have to go away. There's a remedy. And it says, if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And then it says, confess. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. That's our little thought today. God wants there to be healing in our services. Covet earnestly the best gift for the great benefit of the Church of God. Pray for me.